you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue with part one of the two-part series titled, Six Enemies to Faith.
Let me slide something right in here. I was raised Baptist, and we were taught as Baptists that we're just old sinners saved by grace. Now, either you're a sinner or you're not a sinner. You can't be a saved sinner saved by grace. Oh, I had one lady, I was talking to her in Oklahoma. She said, oh, brother, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You know, we're all old sinners by grace. I said, no, I'm not. I say, I used to be a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace. I am not present tense an old sinner. I am present tense, not a sinner at all. I'm a child of the living God. That's who I am. Now, you don't go over and throw that on everybody, and she knew who I was and where we were coming from, but I am a child of the living God. And if Satan tries to put thoughts in me, or I hear some preacher or somebody, you're just a sinner like me, you know we're all sinners. I've heard sermons where I tell you, the person was more proud of being a sinner than they were a child of God. They were happier being a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Like there's some reward in being a sinner saved by grace. The reward is being a child of God. And I never refer to myself as a sinner. And if you're a Christian, you should never refer to yourself as a sinner. The Word of God in the New Testament nowhere refers to anybody that's got born again as a sinner. It says, for we were all sinners in times past. It says, for all are born sinners, but after you get born again, it never talks about you being a sinner. Yes, you're capable of sin. But just because you're capable of sin does not make you a sinner. Just because you sin does not make you a sinner. 1 John 1:9, if you sin, 1 John 1:9 is written to Christians, if you sin and you confess your sin to God, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So yes, I have sinned since I've been born again, a time or two, plenty, I'm sure. But when I realize I have, I value my fellowship with God, I value that state of faith, and I have faith in the Word of God that says, hey, I'm a Christian, if I sin and I confess my sin before God, not before priests, not necessarily before my friends, but if I confess my sin before God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So if I make a mistake, which I make plenty of them, I make less and less each year, but I still make quite a few. And I say, oh, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. It came out, the old man, I just let the old man take control there and the flesh dominated there. But Lord, forgive me for X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z. And I know because of my faith in the Word of God, I don't have to feel guilty about it from that point on. I don't care what it is, because to God, sin is sin. He says, any man who has broken one part of the law is guilty of the whole law in Romans. If you've broken any part of the law, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. And this is in the New Testament. They're talking about just the laws of God, not the Pentateuch, the five books of the Bible to the Jews. He's talking about a law of God. Lying is the law of God, not to lie. And if you break it, you repent, you can realize, hey, I'm not under sin or guilt about it. It's gone away. God says, I forget it. I put it as far from as the east is from the west. Have you ever thought about that? I always wonder why God said this, that he forgets our sins and he puts them as far from as the east and the west. And he didn't say north and south. Did you know there's a place where you can go in the direction south, and if you keep going around this globe, eventually you'll be going north again. So there's a place where the north and the south meet if you keep going the same direction. But you know, if you start off here going to California and you keep going out across the ocean and you keep going and you keep going, and you keep going, you keep going, you'll go around the world 3 zillion times, but you'll still always be going west. West and east never meet. North and south meet. West and east never meet. That's a concept that hit me because I was like, well, the earth is round on both sides. How can they not meet? Because we divide north and south at the equator and east and west are directions. And God knew that way back 4,000 years ago when he had the prophet say, I will forget your sins and I will put them as far apart as the east from the west. And those people had never been around the globe. Remember, they didn't know the earth was round until, 400 years ago when Columbus and these other people decided to sail around the world and saw you didn't fall off the edge of it. So 4,000 years ago, they had no knowledge it was round, but they had knowledge that the east and the west never be. If you keep going east, you'll always be going east. Keep going west, you'll always be going west. And I thought it was great to know that our God wanted to say to us, he said, Robert, I want you to know, I mean, in his word, because I take the word personal, you should take the word God personal. Your sins that you confess before me, and you're truly penitent and you confess them for me, they don't even exist anymore. They never meet you again. You never run into them again. I don't keep a score chart. People think God is this guy up in heaven with a pencil and a pad, and he's keeping track of everything. And when you die and go to heaven, you got to give account for everything. You got to give account about what he did, what you did with Jesus Christ, and the vision that he gave you. But you don't have to give account of every sin. Once you confess it, it never happened. It's hard for us to imagine that type of love. But think about it. God is a greater parent than we are. But, I mean, as our children get older, will we always remember every sin they did? Everything we told them to do and they didn't do it. I mean, my parents don't remember everything I did. They might remember a few highlights, but they don't remember everything I did. You mean to tell me my parents, my earthly parents, were able to forgive me and to put it aside as far as the east from the west, even though I disobeyed them?
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyfaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyfaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
But you don't have to give account of every sin. Once you confess it, it never happened. It's hard for us to imagine that type of love. But think about it. God is a greater parent than we are, but I mean, as our children get older, will we always remember every sin they did? Everything we told them to do and they didn't do it. I mean, my parents don't remember everything I did. They might remember a few highlights, but they don't remember everything I did. You mean to tell me my parents, my earthly parents, were able to forgive me and to put it aside as far as the east from the west, even though I disobeyed them? We have no reason to feel guilty. Now, Satan will try and take a person, that first enemy, number one of the six enemies of faith, and he'll try and tell you that you're not a new creature. All those sins you did before, since you were a Christian and confessed them, and also before you became a Christian, he'll try and haunt you the rest of your life with that. Oh, you were promiscuous. You ran around. You slept around. You did this, that, and the other. Oh, you were a bank robber. You robbed people. Oh, you even murdered somebody. If you do a lot of prison ministry, you run into people who have actually done some things which we call, they're all sin to God, but we call big sins. Oh, God can never forgive me. I once raped a girl. God can never forgive me. I killed somebody. He can never forgive me. I beat a helpless old lady to death. God puts it aside as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. Oh, no, but you can't be a new creature. Remember what you did? He steals a lot of people's salvation before they get founded or grounded in the Word of God with that very lie there. Pat, you come up, you do what it takes to get born again, you get born again, you're so happy that next week, 2 weeks later, somebody comes, you're not born again. I saw you doing this. Oh, yeah, I did do that. I guess I'm not born again. Oh, you're not born again. Last week, you were in jail because of so-and-so. Yeah, but I got born again in prison. No, not you. Not you. You went to prison. Nobody gets born again at prison. Nobody. They always try to hold that against you. But you got to understand, if you don't want your faith taken, I am a new creature in Christ. And I'm new every time I confess and cleanse and I can walk in we had a sermon last year called Newness of Life. I can walk in newness of life. And if I sin and I realize I've sinned and I confess it and I make myself right before God, I can again walk in newness of life. I don't want to feel guilty. Don't let Satan tell you anything else. Many people don't even realize that they actually are new creatures. They think that when they were saved, God simply forgave their sins. And that's true. He did forgive your sins. But there's a whole lot more involved in becoming a new creature. You are someone who never existed. Yes, you have the memories of it. Yes, you have that. He doesn't wipe your mind out. But what you have to do is you have to realize how God sees you. He sees you through the blood of Jesus. When you get born again, he sees you through the blood of Jesus. And he doesn't see the old man. And it's our duty to grow in the word to keep the old man down, so we don't become the old man again, but we can walk in newness of life. Now, point number two is that failure to understand our place. We're talking about the six places where the Satan will attack its enemies of faith. First, he'll try and tell you you're not a new creature. He'll try and tell you you're not forgiven when God has forgiven you. He'll try and tell you God remembers that and you should too. How dare you do something so terrible and then try and pretend like you forgot it? You know, he'll talk like that. Because he wants you to feel guilty. You know, a guilty person is not up to par. A guilty person never feels worthy to approach God. A person who has been in the church and been real prominent and then they get caught in some type of public sin, They get ashamed to go to church. And you know why they're ashamed? Because Satan says, look at you now. You weren't all you said you were. You aren't a new creature. You're just an old sinner. You're nothing. And they become ashamed to go to the very place where they get their restoration, to go back to God. They're ashamed to even pray. Oh, I can't face God. He's been so good to me, and I let him down, and I did this in my moment of weakness. I can't possibly do it. He will steal your faith, and you'll run from God instead of to God. And next thing you know, you're no longer serving God. That's one place he's trying to hit your faith. Failure to understand our place. I normally recommend to people to know who you are in Christ. That little book, well, I don't know if I gave a love book to other people, but there's another little book, mini book called In Him. And that book lists the 140 places in the New Testament that says who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. It's 140 places that we found in the New Testament that says who you are in Christ and what you have. I'm telling you, if you want to change your life, if you want to change your thinking, if you want to change your understanding of God and who you are, go through your New Testament. Make it a study. It might take you a month, might take you a night, depends on how diligent you are. Go make it a study to go through the New Testament. You're not reading all the stories. You're looking for specifically things to say who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do in Christ. And you know what you'll find out by the time you get through Revelations? I am somebody. And boy, all the time the devil had me duped into thinking I was this and I had to put up with this and I didn't have this. And I got everything. I'm a child of God. I've got this. I've got that. I've got the other. My gosh. I mean, you want to check out all those in whom statements, in him statements, all those I have statements, all those in Christ statements. If you read and meditate on these scriptures until they become a part of you or a part of your life, you will absolutely change. It'll be as revolutionary as you find somebody who's always a negative mind and they just get surrounded with a bunch of positivity and it's just there and it's everywhere. All of a sudden they begin to see things differently. And that's the whole thing. Satan wants to blind you so you don't see who you really are. And he wants to blind you so you don't see who he is. He's that impotent man sitting at the table boasting of great things, but he has no power. And yes, he will boast all his life. He will always come to you one way or another to try and steal your faith. I'll knock your head off if you go out there. You better not start tithing. You'll lose all your money. The bills will just overtake you. You better not go out there and start praying. You're wasting your time. You're just going to look like a fool. You go out there and witness that person if God led you to witness to someone. You're just going to be a fool, make a fool of yourself. We've all heard that before. You can't be a Christian and hear the devil not bring those things up to stop you from doing in your heart what you know is right. If you were ministering to anybody else, you say, yeah, obey God, do that. Then your opportunity comes and you hear Satan all of a sudden screaming loud in your mind. Don't do that. You'll be embarrassed.
Today's message has been part one of the two-part series titled, Six Enemies to Faith.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God, develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
Fifth Street Pharmacy of Okeechobee is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Longtime